Okay, good morning, everybody. Today is the 26th of November, which corresponds to the 8th day of Kislev, as we are just a few weeks away from Hanukkah. What I would like to do today is, as we mentioned last week, I want to take a look at preparing salt and pepper on Chag. It's going to have major, major ramifications, and a lot of the Achronim spent a lot of time trying to figure things out, and hopefully, with our Mahalach, we'll have a much easier time figuring things out. So, let's begin. And we're going to start with, I have a handout to supplement. Before we see the Gemara, I actually want to do one small piece of Gemara. Here, that's for you. Now that I actually looked at the handout, I'm like, oh yeah, you know we should do this first. What I want to do is I want to take a look at the Gemara because this is Gemara in Shabbos, so it's not in Beitza. That's why I printed it out instead of just dragging out another Gemara. You will recall, hopefully, that according to Rashi, doing Melacha on Yontov is Doraisa, even if it's Ocho Nefesh, unless it was Iyavshar Laso Miatmo. And Rashi's definition was all about Mefik Tam, it's all about taste. So cooking and baking and all that stuff, the taste is superior today versus if I did it yesterday, and therefore you'd be allowed to do it. And it's literally Doraisa versus Heter Gamor, right? You violated Doraisa if there's no enhancement to the taste, and it would be absolutely permitted to do if the taste would be totally fine. That's what we saw before. Tosfos disagreed. Tosfos said, no, Ocho Nefesh, it's a blank head there. The rabbis came along and said, only do from this stage and onward. Everything else is the Rabbanan. Okay. And there's other about four or five different shittos that we showed you, but again, they're all nuanced like that. And Rashi was one that was really different than anybody else. This Gemara, in my humble opinion, this is not my idea, is an absolute TKO to prove Rashi's Shita. And in fact, when this was showed to some well-known rabbinical authorities in Toronto, they were masking that, yes, this perhaps demonstrates that Rashi Shita is correct, and that will be important for our conversation that's coming up in a few minutes. So let's take a look. This is a Gemara in Kuf Lamed Daled. The Gemara in Shabbos does this, and all of a sudden, they'll throw in things pertaining to Yom Tov. So take a look at the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Mesanin Et Achardal Bemas Nenet Shelo. Vein Mematkin Oto Begachalat. Says Rashi, first of all, right away look at Rashi. So this statement is not a Shabbos statement. Meaning, there's no Chiddush. Why would you tell me, Ein Mesanin Tachardel? Of course you can't use Mesanin. It's obvious you can't do it on Shabbos, right? So this is referring to Hilchot Yom Tov, which is why that's our topic. So I just wanted to point that out. Why can't you sift your mustard? So Rashi says again, the answer is very simple. The Mechazik Borer, it's like Borer. Because you're essentially sifting. You're sifting. Let's border. You can't do border on Yom Tov. And again, look at Rashi. That again, you're not allowed some type of mustard and heating it up. Can't do those things on Yom Tov. Fine. How come you're allowed to do something with the egg? I'm not really so sure what this is. Something about sifting an egg with the mustard. Because that's not borer. But here, it looks like borer. So again, all these things, it appears that they're only the Rabbanans, meaning Mina Torah, you could do all these things. Why? Very simple. The taste is affected by it, right? Again, the way some type of sifting to produce your mustard, you want to produce fresh mustard. Fresh mustard is very tasty. So there's certain things you can't do because it looks like borer. Okay, so that's only the Rabbanan came along and said, do it with a shino, just so people could realize that you're not doing it the regular way on a weekday. So the way they would sift this mustard through a sifter, which looks like borer, which it probably is borer, but it's permissible to do because you need it for, it's an integral part of making your food. Yeah, but you're separating it. But you're, so again, it's being separated using an entity. No, but you're still separating the two. Like at the end of the day, your chazarai is still left in that sifter.
Night, right. There are all these people that want to come and stop them and ruin the work and whatever.
Okay. This was the part that I actually, the first part was fine, but this one to show. Amar le'abaye b'Rav Yosef. Maishna mevisra agumrein. So ask the Gemara in terms of some type of roasting. Amar le'hatom le'efshar hacha efshar. Some type of heating process for the cooking your meat. Yeah, it's very simple. One is efshar, one is lo efshar. I mean, one is that you were able to do it before Yom Tov, and one that you're able to do it on Yom Tov. Meaning, that for every reason, it enhances taste if you do it on Yom Tov. Amar le'Rav Yosef, mal le'gabein. One second, what about making cheese? Amar le'aser. It's forbidden to make cheese on Yom Tov. Maishna malisha. I don't understand. Why can't you make cheese on Yom Tov? After all, it's the same as Lisha. It's just very similar to Shalshin Pat Yom Tov. It's the same thing as your process. For the same way you make your bread, you're making your bread. It's the exact same kneading or you're making whatever. It's the same process. So why is for the bread mutter and for cheese aser? Yeah, exactly what Josh said. Amar le'hatam le'efshar hacha efshar. Because again, what does efshar lo efshar mean? Rashi says, "The pat chama ma'al yatfe," because hot bread is malya. So therefore, to make this kneading is on Yom Tov is permissible because it's ma'alya. It's wonderful. It's geshmak. Whereas hacha efshar metal, you could have done it yesterday. Has no issue. Av hamra de nahadrei gvina bad yom malya. They say in a place called nahadrei that. What do you mean? Gvina, which is a day, right? Is considered good. No. Rashi. That cheese, yes, today is okay, but from yesterday, it's even better. We see from here, this Gemara says, what is the difference between efshar and yefshar? One thing, quality of taste of food. If the quality of the taste of food, and that's what this entire sugya was talking about, it's all going back and forth. Is the quality affected? Quality not affected. Quality affected? If the quality of the food is affected, you'll be allowed to do it today. If the opposite is true, if the quality of the food is better yesterday, you can't do it today. What about if it's still, you could still eat it today? Cheese. The answer is, can't do it. Why? Because it's true today old cheese is good, but everyone agrees that yesterday the cheese is better and superior.
Does it matter that it was better?
He says, since everyone would prefer. You ask the average Joe Schmo.
It's not even relevant. The same is the only qualifier we need to evaluate. It needs to be better today, not explicitly better today than it was yesterday. It was better yesterday. So if you grind salt, like we already are, there's no difference between yesterday and today. That was enough to validate it. So why do we even need to go off and
hold on with the salt, and that's today's topic. What?
Why do we even need to go off and above the cheese and say cheese was better yesterday? Cheese is just not better today. It's all we need.
But we need cheese to be better yesterday than today. If it's the same, right, then it's no good. Right.
I mean, saying it's better is right. Not even necessary.
Right, true. If they're both the same, then you should have done it yesterday. Right. But the Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara says it's better yesterday. Well, I'll tell you why. If it's the same yesterday and today, you could argue that maybe then you could do it today. Right? Because the Gemara says it's better. The Gemara doesn't say the same. The Gemara says everyone agrees hands down.
The inverse of that is that it's not better.
We're bringing proofs from all kinds of different places.
Af kvinas pasyum ma'al yara. She says the kosher kin me'etmo.
Why is it saying that? I thought we said that.
Even though it's edible, you understand, and that's what's important. And it's not that I'm doing something today, and I won't, and I can't even benefit from it today. No. I could eat it today. Because why? Oh, so you're saying, right? Right. But anything that, so it's not a matter of, can I eat it today? Meaning, I understand if I plant a seed, everyone, I'm not going to benefit today. It's impossible. Yeah. That's like Jack and the Beanstalk, well, and miraculously grows or something, right? So you can plant magic beans on Yom Tov because you eat them that day, right? Heta for Jack and the Beanstalk. But otherwise, it's very, you could not be, so I'm going to plant it. Everyone agrees with it. But when it comes to, it's not an issue of the edible. It has to be superior to be able to make it today. And that's exactly what this Gemara is saying. Right, and that's a very, very important point. This appears to exactly, so Rashi gets his sheet of frame from here. And no one argues on this. Right, you don't see any yesho, no? You see this, because everyone agrees. So, okay, I wanted to point that out. Now, with that introduction, again, that's not new. It's new in terms of we haven't seen that source, but I wanted to highlight that. What I wanted to ask is, I want to go into... Yeah. Now we'll do Daf Yud Daled. You have Daf Yud Daled Mishnah. Yeah.
The Borer is permissible because it's better today.
Yes, right. For whatever reason, without sifting it, you could make it. Right. Right.
Oh, I think part of the
story is
really disgusting. Like part of the shell.
You have to remove it, or else it's bitter. Or else it's bitter.
Crack of dawn. And the Gemara says that that's not a proof at all.
Okay. Are we ready? Here we go. Bet Shammai Omrim. Daf Yud Daled. Today's topic is spices and salt. We're going to see something which is going to be very, which is going to cause a lot of problems.
So, what malacha would it be to make spices? Is it like grinding?
Hold on. We'll see. Okay. Here it is. Bet Shammai Omrim. Tavle Niduchin B'Madoch Shalaitz. A tavlin, which is a spice of some sort, right? You nidochin, you can grind it with a madoch shel eitz, with a grinder, like a mortar and a pestle thing, made out of wood. V'hamelach and salt, v'pach ube'etz ha'parur. And the Mishnah says, Rashi, what's an eitz paror? Is this kaf gadol, this big spoon that it's called whatever? So again, you're allowed to grind, but it appears, what do you need to do? You need to do a shinoi. That's what it appears to imply, you need to do a shinoi. Okay, what's the translation in English to those things? What is it saying?
Chunks of salt must be pounded either in an earthenware flask or with a wooden mixing spoon.
Okay, meaning it's a shinoi. Now, interesting how the English translation, there's big chunks of salt. Because if it's small chunks of salt, we need to grind it for it. Just eat it. Or not eat it. Use it, I should say. Okay? Now, good morning. So what will we see from here is that, guess what, guys? All of a sudden, you're allowed to grind salt on Yom Tov. Now, this is very interesting because since we know salt lasts forever, brit melach, we know that salt lasts forever. So, why is that you'd be allowed to grind salt? So is this trying to say that all of a sudden, as long as you can eat it, right? Grinding what's wrong with grind? Do you think that you're not be allowed to grind salt? Salt has no difference in its taste from yesterday to today. How are you allowed to grind salt? Let's continue reading. Behillah says, more of a chiddush. Tavli neduchin kedarkan. Behillah says, you don't even need a shinoi for pepper, for other types of spices. Just grind them. By the way, because pepper comes in large, I should probably explain this. We talked this last time. Pepper comes in large pellets. Not the right pellets. Corn. Thank you. Peppercorns. So, you could have the peppercorn. A lot of people are grinding it, so you want it fresh. Grind it. What about...
It's also more potent if you grind it.
More potent, right, because you're releasing, right? It's like maror, right? It's like grinding maror, right? Okay. What about salt? V'melach b'madoch shel eitz. And salt you can grind out of this wooden... Take a look at this. What's Rashi? Look at Rashi. Shinui bai. grinding it using a wooden grinder, wooden pestle thing, is a shinui. Aval sange b'hai shinui zuta. But this is a very minor shinui. Now, why is Rashi telling me this? Meaning, this is not a good enough shinui. If this was an isser to do, what happens if it's isser and you do a shinui? So then it removes it or lowers it. Rashi is saying, don't think that for a second. This is a shinui zut. This is a minor shinui. Why is he trying to clarify? It's like, really, it's totally fine to do. He had to do small technical shinui for a technical reason. Meaning.
The argument was the normal way to break the pepper then. So
we said no pepper's kedarka. But Hillel says, so again, but Shammai says for the pepper, you have to do a shinui. And for salt, you have to do a huge shinui. But Hillel is more lenient, says pepper and spices, kedarkan, for salt, do a tiny shinui. That means miikaradin, is it permissible to grind salt? Yes!
Instead of grinding it, maybe hit it with a hammer or something.
So, again, is that wooden thing? That's, what does he call it? A,
wooden pestle?
Yeah, wooden pestle.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, those little, like in the olden days, you have those wooden. Because what do you,
like
by the way?
The shop is Jagmar logo.
Right, exactly. What do you usually use? What's kedarkan? I guess a metal one.
Stone. That's what it
was. Oh,
you're reading around the page.
Okay, thank you. Good. So wooden one is usually out of stone. Okay, by the way, that's considered a very tiny. That's why it's called the shuri zuta. It's a small shuri.
Oh, but it also says in the Mishnah, like tavlin dochin kedarkan bima doch shalavet. Stone.
Oh, so that's how it's usually done.
Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, fine. Thank you. Good. So, what's going on here? How come we're allowed to grind salt? This, now, by the way, what's very interesting about grinding, so I understand grinding pepper, that's an easy one. But how are we supposed to justify grinding salt? Anyone want to, so we could argue, maybe. Okay, this so is trying to tell us that really, Ochonevesh. Ochonevesh is a blank head there. Not like Rashi. Ochonevesh, you need food? Grind salt, grind pepper. Why does it matter?
What's wrong with that?
As long as it pertains to food. Sometimes kids say this. Oh, even on our show. Oh, it's food. You can do whatever you want, right? Some people hear that, right? You hear that sometimes, right? It's like this little kid thing. Right? Maybe not. I'm being nice when I say it. Only kids say that.
I hear it often.
I hear it often, right. It's for food, right? So, how are we supposed to understand this whole salt enterprise? So, here we go.
We said before that A equals B. One rule. And we also said that A does not equal
C. Even if it makes it better, to improve the food.
And now we want to say,
okay,
that D equals C.
You just mentioned something very interesting. What did you just say? It makes the what's the function of salt?
Enhances flavor.
D equals C.
Okay. Do you ever eat salt or pepper on its own? No, you don't. Do you? If you eat salt, let's say like this. Let's say you take a tomato. What bracha did you make on a tomato? No, it's not a trick question at all.
Adama.
What bracha did you make if you add?
It's not fruit and vegetable.
What happens if you add salt to your tomato? What bracha did you make? Adama. Why do you make a bracha on salt? The answer is
Sefa.
You could argue the salt preparation for the other food.
So it appears that salt is you don't eat salt for salt.
Salt is machshir.
It appears that you don't ever call salt food. Salt's not food. Meaning, it's edible. Hear the difference? It's edible, but it's not food.
You can grind it if you're putting it in a ready prepared food to add flavor. It's only if you're making it.
When Steve closes his
very good.
You already have made soup. You want more salt. I don't know.
Right, so it's great. Right, so no, again, if it's going to enhance the flavor, okay. Very good. Very, very good. That's it. Shear's over. Okay. Take a look at Rashi. Could I skip any of these Rashis? We did the ones we needed. Okay, fine. We did the ones we needed. Now, let's go to the Gemara. Now, this is going to cause waves. We see from here that everyone needs a shinui by Melech. What's the reason? Ravina Rav Chizna. Chadamar kol agdirot kulan tzuchat melach. Salt. I guess they weren't. And what do you say when kol agdirot kulan tzuchat melach? What do you say when all dishes require salt? That is really true. All dishes need salt. I guess salt is.
Don't they take offense if you add salt?
No, so what they're saying is not from the consumer end. They're saying it from the kitchen end.
They're putting salt in the first place.
Right.
Are they? But what's the function? If you're a real cook, what's the function of salt if you're a real cook?
I think it's bring out the flavor.
Right, right. That's very important. If you have food and it tastes salty, that means you're a poor chef. Right? Food is not supposed to taste salty or peppery. I mean, unless it's a pepper or something. But it's supposed to just bring out a flavor, not be the flavor. And that's the chilek if you're in the culinary world. What? Oh, you're saying that the flavor is a sweet, salty flavor. Right, right. But let's talk about real dishes.
Even then, the chef presumably is finding a balance in the salt.
I will say these two things.
I think pepper's less of an offense than
salt.
Right,
because if we say, oh, people
it's like the function of salt is for you to not, while you're eating your meal, to not even think about salt. Like, in the same way that, like, cell phones nowadays, they strive to, like, the goal of a cell phone is, like, to not, to make you really,
you can't
like,
even
not,
say, oh, cell phone on Yontif now, like, I don't know.
No, like, I'm saying, like, okay, it's a weird comparison, but, like, the best kind of cell phone is a cell phone that when you're using it, you don't even think that you're using a cell phone. You're just like, you don't think about the phone itself, you just use it.
You just
like
experience
the salt,
right, experience
you don't think about
it.
The salt,
right.
You just experience
it's
like
in the background.
If it, when it becomes, when the salt becomes like subconscious, then that's the good.
Okay, I hear that. Okay, it's comparison. I hear you.
Like, Rocky, right. But you know.
I hear it. Okay, good. That's a good, it's a good chilek in terms of, excuse me, the, I guess what the secondary part, right? It's, I mean, I think in English the word is tafa. Okay, it's Hebrew, right? Okay, good. Let's go on. So, but it's just interesting. All the kedira need.
Like,
yeah.
He's, we do put salt in like most recipes when you're actually making the food. Call for salt. Not like salt after.
Yeah, right. I agree.
It's like it's just an ingredient.
Yeah.
It's not like
maybe like chemical reactions or whatever.
Salt
but,
in the food, but you will be offended. If you
like a pinch, what's it
yeah.
called? It requires a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
No,
and have you ever made a cholent? A pinch of salt is not enough.
No, but who? I don't add salt to cholent.
The potatoes absorb salt.
Well, the
salt
meat is salty. I don't know. I have never made
it. I had spices, right, or flavoring. Really? I don't
know. Otherwise, it tastes bland.
Well, I add other things to it.
No, I do too. But the potatoes absorb a lot of salt, so any of the salt in the potatoes will dry right out.
Interesting.
Okay, all right. I think if you use enough sauce, most of those sauces have tons of salt. Like those sauces have. Does ketchup have salt? Ketchup for sure has salt, no?
Not a lot.
No?
There's
some. Sodium?
More sugar than salt.
More sugar than salt, right. Sodium usually, you know, it's in the salt. There's sodium in it. That's. So. Okay. So.
To cook baked beans.
Oh, but what's it saying? What's it really telling me? If I'm going to be cooking, look at Rashi. Kol minei tav shel tzuchot melach hilkach mi etmol hu yada di bay leleducha. If you were cooking, remember, I'm cooking on Yom Tov today. I should have known that I'm going to need salt. So yesterday, what should I have done? I should have prepared salt. I should have had my blocks of salt. See, they didn't sell salt like we sell today. We sell salt. We buy salt in bags. But in those days, they sold them in blocks. So what they would do is you needed to grind it down in order to make it, hey, you're going to chip it away, right? So they grind it down. So since you knew you're going to cook today, you knew that you're going to prepare a meal. All dishes require salt. You should have taken your block of salt yesterday and already made it granular. Right? In order to use, you knew that. Kol akderot.
Which is actually before
me. V'ein kol akderot chotavlin. But you, it could be that what happened. You know why you didn't grind your pepper yesterday?
No, because maybe you didn't think.
Okay, so hold on. We're not there. Hold on. Right? Careful. The Gemara seems to imply that what. Because I knew I needed it today. Mm. Right?
It's not as.
Chadamar, that's one opinion. That's remember Rafun Rav Chisda. Chadamar, we don't know which one is who. Rafun Rav Chisda. Second opinion. No, Chadamar, called Tavlin Mefigin Taiman. Umelach Eina Mefig Taiman. And you notice the little gimel over there? That's halacha, right? When it comes to a tavlin, spices Mefig Taiman. You grind your pepper yesterday. Today it's not as good. When it comes to salt, that is in fact not the case. Taima my benayu. What's the difference between them? Iga benayu di yada my kedera by levushle. Onami b'marika. So what then is the nafkamina between these two opinions? Opinion number one is saying I knew lishna kamarash is by shinu the lishna batra lo by shinu. Right? Why did you just shinu it? Because if I knew I was going to do it, meaning if we always say that you knew you needed salt, so now if you want salt, what can you do? You can grind it.
Okay.
If you say that you can grind it,
so here's the break.
Do you know why you can grind it? You can grind it now because
the
shinui
would
be permissible. Other says, again, if you say that, why? Well, everyone knew you were going to do it. So then if everyone knew you were going to do it, you should have done it. Oh, now if you want to do it, you need a shinui. The other opinion says, no. The other opinion says that it doesn't mefig tamam. It doesn't mefig tamam. Maybe you shouldn't do it at all.
It's earlier in the day.
Or Shmuel, kol haniduchi niduchim kedarkan va'afilu melach. Says Shmuel, listen, grind away, no problem. Va'amart melach by shinohu, but it says melach nizah shinohi, damar ki haitana. The Tanya Marav Mer, lo nechu v'shang v'thil al niduchin shi niduchim kedarkan. Umelach imahem lo nichlaku ella leducha mipnei atzma shebeis shamerim melach bepach ubeitz haparur litzli avalo lekdera ubeiselamim bechodavar ubechodavar. Period. So the Gemara here seems to apply. What are we talking about? We're not talking about a case where you have to grind salt. We're saying if the salt is with the pepper, once you're grinding the pepper, then you can grind the salt. But you can't necessarily grind salt by itself.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
You can't possibly read the Shema for the next time.
The question, of course, is going to be, how in the world does a Shema even help? How does a shinu even help? The Gemara seems to imply, how could you grind salt? Because think about it, even for Bali Atosva, who hold that it's only permissible melisha ve'elach, what about grinding? Grinding is trina. Trina is much earlier stage. And not only that, by the way, when you would take a block of salt and you grind it, you don't grind it for one-time use. You grind it for yamim rabin. You grind it for 3-4 a week in a row. You don't grind it every day. Not efficient. So this leads to a major, major machlokas, trying to figure out how in the world are you allowed to grind salt. Look at the handle that I gave you. Take a look. The
Kohanim here.
Oh.
You
ready? Says the smak.
So you see, if they're both being mentioned in this one big source, and
what was this? What did I do? Oh, I cut out the first part, didn't I? Okay. He's saying you're not allowed to make vina. You're not allowed to make vina on Yom Tov because mefi tama. Okay. Comes along the Sefer Mitzvot Katan was a guy called Rav Kuti, and Rav Hagot Rabbeinu Peretz, who's Bali Atosfa, wrote a commentary on it. I want you to read what he says, because he's going to hear in this section, he talks about salt. I want to read this together. He says something which is pretty wild. Take a look. Go to, on the back of the page, please.
Someone asks you when you read Shema's warning, and then to the conclusion of the Gemara, you see that the poor person is clearly greater than this, or different than this, probably.
Here you go. The last three lines.
But it's clearly different. So if someone asks you when you read Shema at night, when you start.
Look at the last three lines. The Shari Hakol Chutz Mimelach. See, it says three lines on the bottom. The Hechi Sharina Lei. How can we permit salt? How do you permit salt? Lefi Ma De Perush De Legabe Ocho Nefesh Yesh Chiluk. We know that when it comes to Ocho Nefesh, there is a distinction between taste. The Shema Yish Lomar De Kevan De Ikar Hatavsho Bishvil Hatavsho. So, essentially, it's all about the dish. Who? Vatafshir e esher in the perish, meaning I couldn't. So again, I want to make a tafshir. I want to make a fresh. I want to make a fresh chicken. I want to make fresh. By the way, what am I saying? Even fresh bread. So I need salt to be able to add salt into bread. I need salt in my bread, in my dough. And I want to make fresh challah. You cannot compare fresh challah made today versus what was made yesterday. So I want salt. Hilchach tavli na min shari. Says the Hago Rabbeinu Peretz. You know why you're allowed to do tavlinin? Because and this is a major chiddush, but this explains why it's permissible. Why am I allowed to grind? Because no one makes tavlinin for the sake of tavlinin. It's not like an ochel. He doesn't use this language, but it's almost tafel. You guys said it. It's almost tafel to the food itself. And something which is tafel to the food itself. And am I allowed to cook? I'm allowed to cook. Whatever I need for cooking, I'm also allowed to do on Yom Tov, including grinding salt. He says, Hilchach tavli namin shari. Umihu morai kamei dahave asri betavlin shemaflik tamo los v'rilu. He says, and what about those who hold? And he says, what's about the dissenting opinion? If you hold that you're not allowed to grind something whose quality of taste makes no difference, maybe you like a salt. Okay, they argue on this. They argue on the svara. But now, what he wanted to do was he explained, because we did see that opposing svara in the Gemara, right? We see two sides of the coin. Are you allowed to grind? Are you not allowed to grind? If you argue you are allowed to grind, if you argue that you are allowed to grind salt on Yom Tov, then in fact you must argue that it's batel, it's tertiary, it's secondary to the meat itself, to your kneading itself. Since you need to do that on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to do anything else that is a totally auxiliary. It's a totally in the Dave was saying in the subconscious of the actual item itself, not at the forefront, right? I thought I gave you actually the halacha, and I realized, oh, is it here?
I explained to you, what our general view of
Beinu Shemach. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do the Shemach in a second.
So is this even if you had time to ground the salt before Yom Tov?
It appears, even if you had time to do it before Yom Tov, yes, correct.
Are there any opinions that say that you can grind salt without shinui?
Okay, so the question is, why do you need shinui? So the reason why you might need a shinui is because of the following. This is what I didn't mention here, but I feel like, why do you need a shinui for? If it's permissible, why doesn't we just do it? The answer is because, generally speaking, why are you grinding salt for many days? So you need to do a shinui just to show people. I'm just doing it for. I'm just grinding salt enough for today. Meaning, no one would you if you had an option, and you need to grind salt for many days. You're going to use a stone grinder because that's what you do to produce. But if you're using a non-stone grinder, someone who looks at you is like, "Wait a second, what? What are you using a wooden one for? No one uses wood for salt." Oh. Must be, doing it en masse. You're not doing it for the next week. You're just doing it for today, just for Yom Tov, in order to have. So that, and by the way, when it comes to a shinui, we know the halacha of a shinui. The halacha of a shinui is, you cannot, if I use my right hand or my left hand opening up this, that's not enough for a shinui. It has to be a qualitative distinction in the shinui, right? There's no difference if I peel this with this finger or this, that's not enough for a shinui. We know writing with my left hand would produce, my handwriting is pretty bad, but it's still much worse with my left hand. But typing on your left hand is not the shinui. There's no effect change, right? The result is the exact same, right? Fascinating conversation. What exactly is halachic shinui, right? But again, we know that the outcome has to have an impact, right? And clearly using a different grinder, at least definitely appears, again, that's not a good shinui. Because the result is, it's still ground salt. That's why it's shinui zuta. No, but I want to tell you that. It's a shinui zuta, says Rashi. It's not a good shinui. It's a minor shinui. It just looks a little different. The net result is, you still have salt. Small granular salt. So we don't need a major shinui. We need a minor shinui just to have people realize, I'm just doing it for today. That's all you really care about. But really, Mikardin, that's what to do. Right, it's not taking a Doraisa and going to a Durabanan, or Durabanan making it Mutter. It's going from Mutter just so people realize what's going on. Right? Right.
So to rewind a bit, what we were saying before is that we have to not see salt as preparing salt as an action in itself.
Right, exactly.
We need to see it in the greater context of preparing the food.
Exactly. Right? Now, the reason why this is so fascinating is because Bracha told me before on Bridge. When it comes to in the modern era, no one grinds salt.
Someone does.
Yes.
The Himalayan one.
What?
That pink Himalayan salt.
Right, you told me that.
Yeah. We had that. I just looked at it the other day.
Salt.
No, of course. But it's like...
It comes in crystals.
I don't know. It's like this fan... Yeah, you can buy that. You can... I don't know. We have, like, the grinders. Also, I've seen some people at the Shabbos table. I've seen you, like, shake... It's not grinding, but I'm sure they have shaking ones. Grinding ones. It's like pepper and salt mixed together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you would be grinding that up.
Wow.
Okay, so on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to do it.
About the pepper in there already.
Well, yeah, the peppers, I don't know. And the salt, you need to shinui. I don't know.
But wait, are you...
Yeah, so this is part
it's of the... It's salt better that way, because being ground on Yom Tov?
Salt? No, I don't think so.
Virtually everything.
I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I don't know. It's a.
Certainly everything that's presented for discussion.
Okay. That was it. Now, little dose of the Shulchan Aruch. This is amazing. Kol Malacha, we're reading from Hilchot Yom Tov. The handout in front of you. Kol Malacha, Asur B'Shabbos, Asur B'Yom Tov. Don't, they're the exact same thing. Chutz? Malacha Aruch Nefesh. The Chutz? Right? Yom Tov and Shabbos, except for Hutza and Havara. Hutza meaning you can carry in Yom Tov. The Gemara says, this is not so simple, as we'll see in a minute, both when it comes to carrying and when it comes to fire. And also for anything that is needed for machshir yochel nefesh, auxiliary to the food, like sharpening a knife and all that stuff, right? Meaning, we saw examples. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch brings examples. You discover in Yom Tov that your skewer is totally blunted and not usable. Your shechita knife isn't good. All those things that you simply didn't know or didn't realize, or these things broke on Yom Tov itself, those things you'd be allowed to machshirim to do on Yom Tov. Says Rama, the Yesh Machmirim Afilu Beochel Nefesh Atzmo. It is, don't think for a second. So again, according to Shulchan Aruch, blank check for food. Do anything, says Rama, not so fast. I have Shitas Rashi, not so fast. I'm not giving a blank check on Ochel Nefesh. Kol She'enu Mafik Tam Klal. If the quality of the food is enhanced, that's one thing. But if it's not enhanced, you cannot do it on Yom Tov. Miu imasomer of Yom Tov v'yish botzorach Yom Tov. Ah, muter lasoy deshinoi. He says, okay, so if I didn't do it on Yom Tov and has need on Yom Tov, okay, just use a shinui. That is not so simple. The smak and the run, quote the name of the smak and the run. There are many, the yud, if I didn't bring the yud, I could bring the yud. I'm actually over here. Where's my tough study? Yeah, what do you want to ask?
So is this a Sephardi versus Ashkenazi thing?
Right? Okay. So it's more than just that, because
right after the sun sets.
Where's my tough study?
You ask someone, hey, is it daytime now or nighttime?
I thought it was daytime. Give me a second.
Right. So that's how this kind of debate emerges. We're trying to figure out what's going on. We know the Torah tells us to do certain things at night and certain things during the day.
Barulan's crazy.
Okay. Says the Magen Avraham. Not so simple. He's just to say, and this is. Wait a second. It's Ochel Nefesh. The taste is the same. Use a shinui, it's mutter. That's what the Ramah seems to imply, says my guy. No way, Jose. I disagree with this Ramah. Don't think that you can do food for every och nefesh, whatever you want. And don't think if you don't have no choice, you can use a shinui. He says, no, I don't agree with that heter. I'm reading to you from the Mishnah Berurah quotes. The Magen Avraham says, no true.
It doesn't say it was after it was nighttime and then it was daytime and then it was the weird thing in between daytime and nighttime.
Oh, I apologize.
That's not a thing. We've never heard about that before. So how can you say that? It must be that there's just a moment.
I apologize. My mistake. Sorry, Magen Avraham says the chetchil is mutter to do ayudi shuner. I apologize. He brings the super leading opinion. My mistake. I quoted the wrong Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that you can do a super lenient. Sorry, that even without a shuner, it's permissible to do. Sorry, the commentaries are against Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham who argue and say no, not true. My mistake. Sorry. The Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham says you don't even need a shinui this mitzvah to do. There are other achronim who disagree. Why? Because they say, what about Rashi? According to Rashi, it's not good enough. For Rashi, you don't care about a shinui. If it's usher, it's usher. Since when do we say something which is usher, a shinui permits it? Not the chachila. Maybe if you did it, the evidence one thing, but the chachila to say a shinui matters. So what I wanted to show you is, and it's very simple, look in the next halacha, k'tzira and t'china and b'tzira u'schita v'tzeda af v'yishem lech d'ochot nefesh chachamim asurim. Really? Comes along Mishnah Berurah. By the way, the Shid Mishnah Berurah is very complicated by here. I don't want to get into it right now. It's too much for us. But he says that what all these things are really what? That's Shita Tosfot. That's the Shita the Ran. Not Shita Rashi. Now, this is where I wanted to point out. Comes along the smug, which I didn't bring you here, and they argue there are other Rishonim who agree with Rashi, and for whatever reason, they didn't make it into the Shita of the Mishnah Berurah. So when I learned this, I looked at 17 years ago, 18 years ago. So in many ways, there are certain opinions which are not so simple that you'd be allowed. So again, the general psak halacha that's accepted in normative halacha is just use the shinui and then it's okay on Yom Tov. And they kind of dismiss the opinion of other Rishonim, including Rashi, who say that without Mefig Tamo, a heter would not help at all. And the rationale is very simple. Respect to the Gemara. The Gemara is black and white, the Gemara and Shabbos. It's all about quality of taste. If you don't have an impact on the quality of taste, you cannot do it. And to say that you can do it with a shinui is absurd. Who says, who allows you to do certain things just because you have a shinui? What the svara is that? Just because a shinui helps, if it's us or it's up, right? A shinui, we say, yeah, you have to go to the hospital, you have an emergency, you have to. But to say something is permissible? Something is d'oraisa with a shinui permissible? This seems to be a big, big, big chiddush, even though it's brought down the halacha. That is permissible. Very difficult to conclude that way. That was our conclusion that we reached a number of years ago. Again, there's a Mefurash Gemara in Shabbos. It's a Mefurash, it appears to be the Shita of certain Rishonim. Rashi, the Smug, right? How do you justify then salt, which appears everyone jumps on salt. Salt is milky. You know why it's. And that's five of Tosa Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz says, I'll tell you why salt is different. Don't tell me it's because there's a shunur and that permits it. It's because it's tafel. It's like, it's part of the food. If it's part of the food, that's why it's permissible. Because the food itself you're allowed to do because it enhances its taste. So salt is an auxiliary, that's why it's permissible. But it's not permissible because all of a sudden it's a blank check, do something with the shunur and then all of a sudden everything is glory. No, that's a totally incorrect rationale. So we see, I wanted to just reach, you know, this is really the end in terms of our Gemara Sugyas. I just really wanted to focus on the Daf, on Chav Chet, on Chav Gimel, and Yod Aleph. Right, just one topic of Efshar and Yefshar, because it is a very, very complicated topic in Hilchot Yom Tov. And the truth is, for no reason. If you understand this approach, it's actually quite simple. It's actually quite straightforward, and it resolves many difficulties. Many difficulties. So the Rishonim and Achronim spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. when if you just appreciate this one approach, which is black and white, it actually makes things a lot easier. Albeit the salting is a big curveball, but Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz helps straighten our approach at least. And it kind of gives us a very clear understanding. And this is the question to ask. On Yom Tov, you ask yourself one question. Hands in the taste. If the answer is yes, do it. If the answer is no, you could be violating a biblical prohibition. And don't tell me a shinui helps, because it really doesn't.
Yeah. So do you think those people that say that just use a shinui, like the Shulchan Aruch, do you think they're saying that because they hold that every...
Like
meal.
Every food, no, his mother.
Because they believe that any meal that has salt will be better. Like salt will always enhance the meal. And
no,
you can even
that's not why. That's not why they're saying it. They're saying salt is because it's like food and it's all nefesh. That's why you can do it.
Because that would. I mean, what I just said would work if you look at the Gemara where it says kol on tzricha melach. Like every meal needs salt.
Therefore,
so
you should prepare it ahead of time.
Right.
Oh, the reason that you again. So what do you do instead? Do a shinui, meaning okay. So since you knew you're going to need it, but you didn't. But since it's food, what can I do? Do a shinui.
That's
fine.
And that's
right, and that's what they argue.
What the
right.
Shulchan Aruch says.
That's the Pirsu Shulchan Aruch. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Correct.
Is there a difference between salt being part of the meal and certain salt being part of the preparation?
Like machshir yachon nefesh?
Yeah.
We saw the definition of machshir yachon nefesh is that you don't eat it. You take a knife and you shecht meat, and then you can eat that meat. So it has to be a step totally removed, like carrying a knife for a brit milah is machshir a milah.
Right. So
no one says salt, grinding salt.
Because if you think that it's part of the preparation, then it's machshir. But again,
we even said machshirin still has to be is still governed by efshar and efshar. Right? Like, again, you couldn't... How would you get that knife on Shabbos for Bismillah? How are you going to... I have no knife to do my shechita today because it broke today or I lost it and I need a new one, so then I'd be allowed to do it today in order to get a knife for shechita. Right? That's machshir yachon nefesh. So... Okay, what I want to do is over the next 2 weeks, because I figured people would be in and out because of exams, is I want to do two classic Yom Tov examples. That's a classic example of Sharon and Yom Tov. That's like a pretty well-known topic. And so I figured that'll be the first time. We'll see if we do that in 1 week. I might need 2 weeks. We'll see how far we can get with it. But I think it's a great topic because it's connected to Ochon Nefesh. You'll see how it's connected to Ochon Nefesh, which is why I'm choosing it. It's tangentially connected to Ochon Nefesh, but it'll also help us enhance what exactly also is Ochon Nefesh. Is it just food, or can we expand the definition? You know, because I just be wears bread. How about Hotza, right? Carrying. Well, how's carrying Ochon Nefesh?
Well, maybe it's not.
How can I carry? How can I carry my Seder on Yom Tov? Kashu without an Eruv.
The language of the Shulchan Aruch is that it splits it up. So, meaning it.
Look at that. Hutzah and Havara.
If Hutzah and Havara was Ochon Nefesh, then it wouldn't be treated as separate.
Very good. So, why is Hutzah and Havara different? Why is Hutzah and Havara. Is that a blend check? Or is that also governed by Efshur? Okay, so that'll be connected to it as well, God willing. Actually, how many weeks more should we go? What?
Like until
we
take a break.
Yeah. So maybe what we'll do is we'll do next week's what, the third?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll do the third and the tenth. And then first the week after that, then we'll break because of Hanukkah and vacation. We'll pick up again in January. But we'll pick up January like 13th because I'm actually away the week before on that Sunday on the 6th. Which... So, and then we're going to do a topic of Muksa. We're going to use the Gemara and Beitza, and actually, I want to do Shabbat. I want to go through all the sugyas of Muksa, both in terms of learning Gemara, because I want to make sure it's like, it's a Gemara shir. And then once we have our hand on Muksa and the Gemara, we'll have a much better appreciation, and we'll be able to judge ourselves what's permissible and not permissible. But again, you can't really appreciate Muksa unless you understand the Gemaras. You just can't. If you try to learn Halacha Muksa without the Gemaras, you get...